Welcome to another inspirational message from the Contemporary Service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Stephen Tay will encourage and bless you.
Praise the Lord. Turn to someone and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. That was weak. Hallelujah. Do this. Turn to someone else and say, get ready, get ready. I'm ready. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday the Lord started speaking to me about how he really feels about us. How he really feels about us. And I want to share that with you because it's so important that you have good understanding of the Lord and what he does, how he feels about you. Some people have just an idea that God has this frown on his face with lightning in his hands ready to zap you. And if you have that picture of him, it's not an accurate picture. So let's go to the Bible and let's turn to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah was a prophet who lived just over 600 years before Christ, before Messiah came. And it's just a phenomenal scripture in Zephaniah 3. Verse 17 that I want us to look at. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Look at this now. He says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you. Say, Lord. Say, in the midst. A mighty one, a savior. Say, mighty. Say, savior. One who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. Say rejoice. Say joy. Those are good words, isn't it? And he will rest in silent satisfaction, and in his love he will be silent. Say silent. The Amplified puts it this way. He says, makes no mention of past sins or even recalls them. He will exult over you with singing. Say exult. Say singing. Now, this is a picture of God in a very extraordinary time. Let me give you the background real quick. Around the time that Zephaniah was living and prophesying, there was a lot of bad stuff happening, a lot of negative things going on. The people of God, the nation of God, was wandering away from him. Many were not spiritually active anymore. Many did not know the Lord anymore. There was turmoil. There was confusion, chaos happening. As a matter of fact, there was rumors of judgment, challenges, impending wars, and agitation, and all of these things happening. Now, if you just take that, and it could so easily fit into today. There's negativity everywhere we live. Every day, if you just listen to the news or watch a little bit of television, there's negativity all around. You will find some wrong somewhere. There's rumors of war. Missiles are flying over Syria. Gas attacks. Impending wars. Russia is rising up. And I mean, all kinds of stuff happening. And you wonder, what on earth is happening? Have everybody lost their minds? Is there any sanity remaining? Well, that's the same background that Hezekiah was prophesying in. And here's the beauty of it. In the midst of the negativity, in the midst of the chaos, with all the things that's going wrong, there's this amazing, tremendous promise. And verse 17 is that promise. That in the midst of the national calamity, there's a personal promise. That's the God we serve, folks. God can cut through all the negative stuff and get right to your heart. God can look right through all that's wrong and he can find something that's right. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Turn to someone and say, wake up, the good part's starting. Look at this. Let's break this verse down real quick. The Bible says the Lord God is in the midst of you. That word Lord God is two Hebrew words, Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh is the covenant name of God. He wants to make sure that we know who He is. Yahweh literally means the existing one. Remember when Moses said, Lord, what is your name? God says, I am who I am. That word is Yahweh, the I am, the existing one. I'm so glad God is not I was and I will be. It's I am. Amen? That amazing God says, I am in the midst of you. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is. Yes. Have you welcomed Him today? Have you taken time to say, well, God, welcome in my life. I want you in my life. Listen, God wants to be in the midst of you. What does that mean? Let me tell you real quick. The words in the midst of you really means the nearest place or the center. God is not far. God is not somewhere in heaven looking down from a far place. He is in the nearest place possible. Hallelujah. That means He's available to you. He's accessible to you. He is close by. Praise God. He knows even when you think. Turn to someone and say, that's close. If He can hear your thoughts, your whispers, your screams, everything inside of you, the nearest place possible. And listen, He wants to be in the center of it all. He will not allow circumstances to push Him aside. He will not allow stuff in this world and calamity and turmoil and all of these things to push Him aside. Let's not push Him aside. He is in the midst of us. In other words, make Him the center of your life. Let Him be the middle that everything revolves around. Come on now. Hallelujah. When you make your problem the center, that's a problem itself. Because then all you will see, everything, you'll run around the problem. But if God is the center, hallelujah, everything revolves around Him. Now, here's something else that it speaks about this God. God Elohim, Yahweh Elohim is in the midst of you, in the center of you. He's the nearest part of you. And then He goes on, He qualifies who He is. The first word is Mighty One. Man, that's the God we serve. I'm so glad it doesn't say Small One. Mighty One. Say mighty. Whoa. The Hebrew word is here very, very strong. It can be translated powerful, warrior, strong, valiant, champion, and brave. The undefeated one. The mighty one. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. Man, that in itself, when you see He is the mighty one and He's in me, He's the center of me, He's the closest part of me. Woo, hallelujah. I'm in the champion's corner. Man. Hallelujah. And then it goes on, it says the one who saves. The Savior. How many of you know there's only one that saves? And there's no one else. The book of Revelation says no one's worthy to open the book. No one's worthy except one. And that's Jesus Christ, the Savior. The word here to save or Savior comes from the Hebrew that means to be open, wide, or free. How many of you know God is not closed to you? He's open. Think about that. His eyes are open. He watches over you. His ears are open to hear your heart's cry, to know what you pray. He hears everything. His hands, His arms are wide open to receive you. As a matter of fact, Jesus loved you this much. He's open to you. His heart is open to you. You know what? The devil wants you to shut your eyes, shut your mouth, shut your ears, and shut you up and shut you out. But God says, no, I'm open to you. My heaven is open to you. My heart is open to you. My love is here for you. God wants to bless you. He sees you. He hears you. He speaks to you. He listens to you. He's the Savior. Wow. And he brings freedom and liberty. He makes things wide. Listen, the devil wants to narrow things down. He wants to give you tunnel vision that you cannot see anything else but the problem. God says, David puts it this way. He says, the measuring lines, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Wide open. Listen, your destiny is wide open before you. Because he's the one who saves. The Lord your God is in the midst of you. If you make him the center of your life, oh, he'll be the mighty one. He'll be your champion. He'll be the one who saves you. He'll be the one who is open to you. In fact, the question is, are you open to him? Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at this. So what does God do? We know who he is. He's Lord God. He's mighty. He's the Savior. Here's what he does. Look at this now. In the midst of all the negativity, Jesus says, he will rejoice over you with joy. Man, I love that. The word rejoice means to be bright, cheerful, glad, to display your joy. The word joy here or gladness means exceeding gladness and pleasure. You see, many times we as followers of Christ have a wrong connotation to holiness. We say either you're holy or you're happy. The two is opposite. I want you to know that there's nobody holier than God. He is the epitome, the definition of holiness. Holiness means to be separate, to be in a class of your own. But look at God. He's holy and happy. God is not a grumpy God. God is not an angry God. He's a happy God. He's a rejoicing God. The Bible says he will rejoice over you with singing. How on earth does that happen? Well, remember he just mentioned the Savior. You know, as a result of what the Savior does, the very next thing after your sins are washed away, you are forgiven, you are cleansed, hallelujah. That's when God's happy. That's when he rejoices over you with joy, with gladness. Oh, hallelujah. I just love this. Turn to someone and say, we serve a happy God. He's holy and happy at the same time. Imagine that. Now look at this. Here's another sentence that will puzzle you. The Bible says he will be silent over you. He quiets himself over you. Now there's really two ways to interpret this part of the verse. The one way, I looked up the word silent in the original language, to be quiet over you, he will quiet you, or to be silent, literally means to engrave or to fabricate. Listen, when God is silent and you don't hear his voice, does not mean that he forgot about you. He's just working on you. He quiets himself with you. In other words, he engraves and he fabricates. Isaiah puts it this way. He says, your name is engraved in the palm of his hand. There's some handiwork going on in there. Hallelujah. Another way to fabricate. Listen, God knows what he has for you, your destiny, your future. He plans everything. It's so amazing. The blueprints of your life is amazing. And God is busy working, fabricating. Jeremiah puts it this way. You're the clay, he's the potter. He's fashioning, molding, and making, and shaping you. Ooh, hallelujah. I'd like God to be quiet in my life any day, because that means his fingerprints are getting in. I'd rather have the fingerprints of God on my life than the footprints of the devil. I'm going to say that again. Because some of you feel like you've been kicked by the devil. You have his footprints on you. You'll never have the footprints of God on your life. But you'll have his fingerprints. Hallelujah. Molding, making, shaping, correcting. Listen, he's the healer of broken hearts. He sets the captives free. Yes, we all are sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We mess up so many times. We can never be perfect. But I tell you what, when the Savior steps in, when the Mighty One is in our midst, in the center of my life, he fixes what is wrong. He molds and he makes and he fashions and he shapes. The sin is forgiven. My past is over. I have a future in the Lord, and he rejoices over where I'm going, not who I was. You see, God is prophetic when he looks at you. The devil just wants to show you the pathetic. Let God show you his prophetic. Because there's power in what God is about to do in your life. Look at this. He will be quiet, silent. Another way that you can translate this is what the Amplified lifts out. He says, he'll be silent and make no mention of past sins. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. When your sins are forgiven, God does not remember them anymore. He never brings them up again. They don't exist anymore. As far as the east is from the west, he removes our sins from our lives. He'll be silent. Now look at this, the last one. This will really blow your mind. How does God really feel about you? Well, we know already, he's the Mighty One who saves. He saves us. He rejoices over us with joy. That's wonderful. Glorious. He's silent. He's fabricating. He's engraving. He's making. He's molding. But now, look at this. It says, he will exult over you with singing. The word exalt out of the Hebrew language that this was written in originally, it literally means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion. Literally. Now, I can understand if this word is used for a three-year-old that just got an ice cream cone. I mean, have you ever felt like... You cannot put in words, and it overtakes you, your joy, your yeah, and you just twirl. That's what God does. Can you picture what's heaven like? I wonder if God goes off like that when he sees you and there's an angel in the throne room, stunned. God loves you. You are the source of his joy. He calls you the crown of creation. See, God does not change. Even in the beginning at creation, he says, let there be light. And then at the end of the first day, remember, the sun is not even there yet. He creates light before the sun. That's God. But he stands back and he says, I like it. It's good. Second day he comes, he creates the earth and nature. And day after day at sunset, he stands back, looks at what he just did, says, I like it. God still stands back and he looks at you and he says, When people says no, 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 God says, yes, yes, yes. When the devil points fingers and says, look, 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 wrong, wrong, wrong. God says, yeah, but have you seen right, 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 right? See,
God looks at you through the filter of the sacrifice of Jesus. God looks at you post-salvation when the devil wants to see you pre-encounter with Christ. I like it. That's what God... But he twirls around. I want you to get that picture. Now think about this. If God feels that way about me and you, don't you think we can do something better when we worship him? If he feels that way about me, that just by looking at me and being involved in my life, being the center of my life, he twirls around in joy over me. And I come to church and sing, man, I get so thrilled with Jesus. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great. Something's up. See, Paul says, be imitators of God. He says in another place, do what I do because I imitate God. So if you want to imitate God, even in worship, we should put more into it. And worship is not just singing songs. Worship is a lifestyle. Put a twirl in your day, for heaven's sake. Find something to be happy about. Yeah, we have a lot of reason to be sad and mad and angry and... But if you know your God, you can rejoice every day. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, sometimes I think God is in the center of our lives. He's in the midst of us. He's got to twirl around to see all of us, to see every area of our lives, because he's so near, he's so in the middle that he's got to kind of to get a full view. Let's be in the center of God's will. Let's walk in the center of the Word of God. Hallelujah, that we can see all that he is as well. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one that saves. He rejoices over you with joy. He'll be silent as he crafts and molds and makes and engraves, thinking not of your past sins, not making mention of them, and he will rejoice or exult over you with singing. Listen, God sings a song over you, and the God song over your life is a beautiful one, not a tragic one. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, praise the Lord. You know, we're from South Africa, and South Africa for many years was the diamond capital of the world. And for many centuries, diamonds have existed, even in Bible times. But of course, the technology has increased when it comes to diamond cutting. Back in old days, if they would get 9 cuts in a diamond, every cut will reveal another reflective surface where that could reflect light better, and it makes it brighter, makes it look more beautiful. And they could cut 9 shapes, and then, you know, breakthrough, they went up to 32. Another breakthrough, up to 64 sides. Now it's well over 100 different angles that they cut one diamond, and each cut reflects light differently. And so now today's cut diamonds are just sparkly, beautiful. It's really the same as old times. It's just more reflective surface to show all the beauty and all the characteristics. God, the light of the world, wants to shine through us. Put him in the center, and you know what? You'll become the diamond that reflects his glory into our world like never before. You're sitting here and you say, Rudy, you know what? I need Jesus like never before. I need a mighty one in my life today. I need a savior. I need someone to wash the guilt and the sin and the shame away. I need to make right with God. I don't want to live in the past. I've messed up so many times. Listen, we all have sinned and fall short. But listen, you don't have to wallow in your sin. You don't have to live with the defeats of yesterday. You don't have to be living under the shame and the guilt of what has been. If you will invite the Savior into the center of your life, He will wash you, He will forgive you, He will cleanse you, He will take the negative out, put the positive in, He will start rejoicing over you, He will show you the way of joy, the way of success and destiny and blessing, He will fix the brokenness, He will do so much. He'll be quiet over you in silent satisfaction, molding and making you to be all who He wants you to be. He'll even twirl when He thinks about you. And He'll sing a song over you. That's what He wants. You can be done with yesterday. You can get forgiveness for your sin today. And you can walk into the future that He has shaped and got ready for you tomorrow. If you want Jesus to step in and be the center, to be in your midst, in your life, the nearest part of you, if you want Him to occupy that sacred, that exclusive spot in your life right now, and you say, Rudy, I want Jesus to step in. I want Him to forgive my sins. I want to make right with God. I want the mighty one. That's who I'm calling on. If that's you, you want to be included in this prayer, quickly slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Even up in the balcony, God is speaking. God is in the midst of you. The mighty one who saves. Anybody else? Thank you. Way in the back. God bless you. Hallelujah. Everyone that said, Rudy, pray for me. I want to be included in this prayer. Will you stand with me? Right there where you are, in your seat, just stand. You are making a decisive decision right now and saying, God, here I am. I'm asking, bring the mighty one. Be in the midst of my life. Step in. Be the one. I'm making my life right with you. Hallelujah. Let us all pray together. I want you to pray this prayer loud and strong. I want you to pray and mean every word as we dedicate our lives to the Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. You are the mighty one. You are the Savior. I ask you to step into my life. Be the center. Be in my midst. My closest part. Wash away my sin. Forgive me, O God. Take over my life. Fashion me, mold me, shape me into all you want me to be, so that I can rejoice with you when I'm aware of the future you have for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give God all the praise. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Woo. Praise the name of Jesus. So one of the lessons we've learned is you can be holy and happy at the same time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you as I'm going to give back to Pastor.
want to invite you tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. It's going to be amazing times. We're going to have personal times, and here at the altar, we're going to worship the Lord like the Lord sees us. We're going to see Him. We're going to have our eyes on Him. Just a tremendous time. If you know someone that needs a touch, needs a breakthrough, needs activation of ministry and anointing upon them by the laying on of hands, we're going to do all of that and just flow. And Wednesday night is Night of the Holy Spirit. So don't miss any of these. God bless you.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. Your love was my departure into the great unknown. You are my heart's contender. You are my hope. Your love is saving me. Your love is the air I'm breathing. Your love consumes my soul. Your love is bringing me home.
You're the train on the track. You're the parachute when I fall. You're the wind at my back when I soar like a cannonball. You're the melody I'm singing, the melody I'm bringing, the backbeat of the song.